Back in the 80s, it seemed like every day had some new awesome thing to entertain us. From Rubik's Cubes to Ataris and even Garbage Pail Kids, we had fun from morning to night. But for all the amazing things the 80s gave us, it gave us two things that were even better. Matt and Brian. Yep, before we were keeping up with the Kardashians or following Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, the world had Matt and Brian, and nothing was better than the podcast that they put out every week, The TV Guys.
Did you just compare us to the Garbage Pail Kids?
Hey everyone, welcome back to TV Guys, the show that, like Murray, before we record, we take off our pants. I'm Matt.
I'm Brian. And Matt, I now have three bones to pick with you.
Well, let's get to the four. So,
all right. One, you imply that we did the podcast in the 80s when you and I were both born at the end of the 80s.
We were born in the 80s and then we did the podcast after we were born.
Two,
technically.
Before we started recording, in conversation, you used the term death boner, and I feel like our listeners need to know that.
Look, I'm not the one who just tries to shoehorn death jokes into everything, Brian. Are you okay? Do you need a hug?
You brought up Andre Brower.
I did, because I was deleting recordings that we did.
Or no, what wasn't it? It was about
Kirstie.
It was,
wait, yeah.
Is that
Kirstie Alley?
Kirstie Alley and George Segal. We'll talk about them later, but about them being dead.
See, you found a way. You found a way to talk about them being dead.
Yeah, and then okay, third one. This is the one I knew going into today that I was going to have with you, and okay. I think we've talked about this, but I don't know if we've talked about this in front of our listeners. So I want to publicly shame you again.
Thanks.
So I started watching the Goldbergs like 9 months ago. It was last summer. We're recording this in March of 2024. I started watching the Goldbergs back in like June of 2023. And I told Matt like 9 months ago, hey, I'm watching the Goldbergs and when we finish, I want to do a podcast on it. And you're like, great, that's awesome. And I would give you updates like, hey, I'm on season three. Hey, I'm on season six. Hey, I'm on season eight. And you knew the whole time I was watching this. And you're with you with your whole, I have to watch every episode of a show we talk about. You waited until I was in the final season after knowing for months that I was watching the show to be like, oh, wait, I should probably start watching it right now.
Because I don't know how long you're going to take. You said it took you 9 months. It took me 9 weeks. So I wanted it to be fresh. I don't remember what I watched 9 months ago. All right. It's not in my brain.
Well, now I finished it like a month ago because now I had to wait for you.
Man, you're going to be terrible on this episode.
No, I'm good. Actually, I don't know why I never watched it on the first run, but this has got to be one of my new favorite sitcoms.
It's really good. So, like, we'll talk about the characters. We're going to talk about some of our favorite episodes. We'll talk about if there was a specific season that was really great. And then the other thing, though, that I want to talk about is my only complaint about this show, and this is actually what made me stop watching it in the first place, and it's not like I stopped watching it in anger. But if you've seen one episode, you've seen them all. Because you can give a synopsis for any episode if you just leave out the specifics and it'll fit. Where it's like Beverly oversteps in her relationship with her kids and her kids freak out and they yell at her. And then she guilts them back because she was just like showing how much she cared. And then her kids realize, oh, I should have been a better kid to my mom. Meanwhile, Murray didn't want to get involved in any of this, but he saw what it did to her and he steps in and gives them some perspective. And then they all come together at the end and resolve, we're not going to be like this again. Like every episode, it's that same conflict. And so at a certain point, it's like, I don't need to keep watching this because I've already seen it. But it does allow you to jump in really at any point in the season if you want to.
I noticed it the most with Murray because every time Murray is like, I don't want to be involved with anybody. I'm a bad dad. I just sit here and yell at people and call you a moron. And then like, oh, look, Murray does care. He did something that makes him care. He's a good dad. Yay. Next episode, I'm just going to sit and call you a moron. And like you said, over and over and over again. But you're right. It happens with the kids. It happens with Beverly. It happens with Murray. Pops is fine for the most part. He doesn't have many lessons to learn.
Pop, on the other hand.
And then like after Pops dies, and they bring him in, and then suddenly he's a part of the family, and they like him around and all because they wanted to fill that grandfather role. It's a little bit of a culture shock at the end.
Yeah, it is. But to the show's credit, it would be one thing if they were kind of, I guess the best term is nose deaf to themselves, but they do lampshade themselves quite often where it's like, yeah, if we were actually this way, then it would be terrible. This is a piece of us, but we are exaggerating that piece. And we all understand this is not how normal people behave. So it does win you back over with that instead of it being like, wow, these people suck like Arrested Development or It's Always Sunny. They at least have a conscience, but it's all exaggerated for TV.
Well, and even when they're at their worst, they do still care about each other and love each other. You know that much.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, you think, oh man, this is like so exaggerated by TV. These scenarios never happen. And then at the end, because it's based on Adam Goldberg's real life, you say like, oh no, his brother Barry actually did call himself Big Tasty. And they did do all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the real Beverly is a lot like TV Beverly.
Yeah. She obviously can't return like a bathing suit she bought 20 years ago and has worn all that time without even a receipt. Yeah, she probably isn't that good, but she has done outlandish stuff. The thing that I like about this show, or no, I'm sorry, this is another gripe, and it's not a big one, but I get why they did it, is at a certain point, I think they were being a little reactionary where they're getting like some fan mail or feedback where people be like, okay, they can't really be this way. And I think you saw it in like season 4 or season 5, there was a heavy emphasis on the narration of Patton Oswalt saying, now this really 100% happened. Like there was a lot more obvious winking at the audience of like, this is a completely true story. Like the living room that none of them were ever allowed to go in, or the ghost painting that was like kept falling off and was haunting their house or whatever, the stuff that they're like, this is absurd, but trust us, this actually happened. Like that one, when they got that on the nose, I'm like, we already knew that there is elements you took from your life and there's elements you exaggerate. We don't need the heavy-handed, in my opinion.
And a little later on, they started showing like, Let me interview the real Beverly, the real person. Yeah. They started showing the real people, the people these characters were based on.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of did these swings overall where it's like the early stuff was us just getting introduced to the show. And yeah, they'd have the footage at the end. And then they would start doing what I was saying of the heavy handed. And then they would do the interviews with real people and bring them on. And then at a certain point, kind of that ending stuff went away. They did a little bit, but I think that was when Adam Goldberg kind of stepped away from the creative control as big as he did, because I think he moved on to something else and still just had the producer credit. And so we didn't see as much of that at the end. We would have some highlights like the Wonder Years episode. And then we see at the end, like, dedicated to the actual dad from Wonder Years. And he was in this episode. Bing, there's the arrow. So we saw a little bit of that, but we stopped seeing so much like that footage from their real life.
There's also a couple times, I think, or at least once, where it was like Adam's, like, or a girl who had Adam liked, and that character's mom at the end realized, oh, the mom of the girl was the real life girl.
Yep.
And it was like, is that legal, like with the actors union? Like, don't they have to be an actor? Like, I mean, he just bring in people from his life and be like, hey, you know, play your mom.
I don't know how they, like, with that side of it, because I mean, they also did the Double Dare episode is the one I think of often with that too, where like the two people who actually went on Double Dare from their town, they brought them on as like the judges for the Double Dare competition they're doing in the gym. So I do like that. I think that's a really good way for Adam Goldberg to be like, these are the real people. I want to, like, if we're going to make fun of them and tease them, sure, we've got their permission, but we also just want to bring them in and show you them.
Or like, you know, Steve Guttenberg towards the end was a recurring character of the science teacher. Mm-hmm. And then they did the 3 men and a baby thing.
Yep.
They brought that, even though that character would never have been at the house or anything, like, we have him as a recurring character. He's the actor. We're going to shoehorn him in. And the audience knows that it doesn't make sense. But it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know if you're going through this. So, who were your – out of just the main Goldberg family, so just the main 6 of them, Who is your favorite?
I think it's got to be... I like Barry and Pops, and it's really hard to decide between the two of them. George Segal just brings a delightfulness to everything that he does. But Sean... No, that's Adam. Whoever the actor who played Barry, he's ridiculous. He does a really good job of, like, that over-exaggerated. And his shtick gets a little stale in the last seasons, but overall, like, just the absurdity that he does and the sincerity he has to that absurdity and how he commits is really well done.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think it's got – I mean, it's the easy answer, but it's got to be Pops.
Yeah.
He's just such a wholesome character. He can do the funny stuff. He's never really at fault too much. Like I said, not that he's blameless, but he doesn't have any like ongoing, he's kind of there to be just kind of like the audience surrogate of knowing what, of like having craziness around him.
Or to ask, what's happening?
I was going to say his catchphrase of what's happening or his catchphrase of getting every pop culture reference a little bit wrong. Like you guys, like he's saying, calling Ferris Bueller, the Fergus, or
Beverly, buy the kid a Star Wars.
Or a kid comes to Halloween dressed up, trick-or-treating as Kermit the Frog. And he's like, and it's Herman the Frog, walkety-walkety. It's just wrong. But it's like, that's how a grand, like, he's the grandpa trying to connect. He just doesn't get it.
Yeah,
and it was you can clearly see before he died. He died in universe at the beginning of season 9, I think it was.
Yeah,
but you could tell the previous season he was starting to be in it less and less. I think it was health issues that were leading up to it.
Yeah, you would see him pop up for stuff, but he wasn't in the A or B plot. He would often like have a one liner. I love one of the one liners out of this time because he still wanted to work, but he couldn't do it a lot, and so there was. I don't remember the situation, but someone hangs up in the kitchen and they turn and Pops is sitting at the table and like they're in trouble. And he's like eating a pickle and he's halfway through. He's like, looks like we're both in something of a pickle. And then takes another bite. And it's just such a stupid line, but he delivers it great. And it's so funny. It's so cheesy. He's he's that sort of character.
He is.
But I don't feel like there's a weak character. I would say weakest might be Erica, but even she's not bad. It's just I think the over-exaggeration of other characters is better.
I think Erica in the beginning may have been the weakest, but through her you get the window into like Jeff and Jeff's family and like, you know, there's Lainey and Valley Girl Erica, like there's a whole bunch of side characters that are all like Erica side characters who are fun to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, like she's good. I'm not going to say that she's a bad character, but it's just when the it's so stacked on that side. It's like, because you can make an argument for Jeff Garlin or for Wendy, lost her McClendon, last hyphen name.
McClendon Lovery, whatever.
Whoever Wendy, plays Beverly. Wendy. Yeah, you can make an argument for either one of those being the best because they do such a good job with their roles. Mm-hmm. Wendy brings Beverly to life in this amazing way that is fantastic to watch and to see her next to the real Beverly. And even though Jeff Garlin doesn't like seeing some of the footage of real Murray, he doesn't seem to line up the same way. He makes it his own in a way that's refreshing and and his curmudgeon nature is really fun to watch.
Yeah. He's not nearly as three-dimensional a character as Beverly is, though.
Yes.
Absolutely. And, I mean, of course, the show is centered around Adam. And I think Adam is a really more of an important character in the beginning. Towards the end, it seems like towards the end, it's just kind of like, oh, and Adam's also here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's told through his eyes enough, but you have different episodes that are told through other people's eyes, like even as you said with Jeff Schwartz coming in, there's like the dinner with the Goldbergs, which is we're gonna come back to that because that's a great episode that we have to talk about. Like that's through Jeff's eyes, like he's the audience surrogate. So like you're right that as Adam grows, it stops being as much about him, but there still is a lot that follows him, and like his arcs tend to towards the end kind of are the ones with the biggest weight. Like I think more so than even like Erica and Jeff's baby, I felt like that was a little bit of a swing and a miss. Even the like trying to get into NYU while Jeff and Erica are going to get married, even that, like, it's kind of was running out of steam. I think Adam's stories towards the end were the arcs that were kind of holding the show together.
A little bit, yeah. And also, Beverly after Murray dies is also interesting, because it's like, is she interested in that one teacher or not? Or is she interested but not ready, you know?
Mm-hmm. Drink!
So one thing I love about Goldbergs is it's kind of Simpsons-esque in that you have your central family, but there's such a wide bench of supporting characters. You got everyone at the school. You got the JTP. You got
JTP.
You know, Jeff, JTP.
Plus Matt Bradley. You needed to pause. Matt Bradley.
You know, you got all the administrators of the school with Tim Meadows and Stephen Tobolowsky, and you know the Mellers and the Yentas and Bill Lewis and all the girlfriends and boyfriends of everybody and Dave
and
Kim
Vic and Uncle
I know
Marvin.
Dave Kim. What is it?
And Vic and Uncle Marvin.
Yeah. Which is weird. Uncle Marvin came back skinny one season, and then the next season he came back, he was back to being his normal self.
Yeah, I think, he slimmed down for Fantastic Beasts.
Okay.
So I've said before, and I don't know if I've said it on a podcast, but I've said to you before who my favorite side character is. But who is yours before I spill those beans? If you can narrow it down to one.
If I had to pick one, I think I got to go with Bill Lewis.
Bill Lewis is good. David, I'm blanking on everyone's last name. I got their first name. It's fine. It's with a K. David what? What's the actor?
I mean, the character or the actor?
Actor.
Oh, Dave Koechner.
Koechner. Thank you. Yes. I was going to mispronounce that hard. But he's a great character actor, mm-hmm. and it's not his fault that Packer is such an unlikable character,
yeah.
but I've seen him in things like Anchorman or Thank You for Smoking, but a lot of these ones, he just comes in, and he's a bit of a doofus in whatever role that he has, but usually he's a lot of fun in what he brings. Packer mm-hmm. just happened to be too perverted. So this is another example of how great he is as a character actor.
Yeah, and he is kind of like the doofy dad. He has connections. Like he's Murray's best friend, and then later on he has a connection with Barry as well, Lainey's dad. And even in this, I love the moment where I forget what her name is. It's like the rival Yenta is setting him up, and him and Beverly are both trying to set him up with somebody. Mm-hmm. And she shows her this picture. He's like, "Oh man, this lady's awesome." And then they bring in the lady, and he just goes, "Oh, it's the lady from the picture."
He's great, but I love Coach Miller. He is my favorite, just like
original
his
Coach Miller, right?
Original Coach Miller. Like Goldberg's yeah. fine, yeah. but original Coach Miller, he's just pitch perfect in that mm-hmm. role of again, I like these absurd characters that play it straight and play it committed. And yeah. so like, you know, he's that his straight-faced, but he has just hilarious jokes about how sad his life is or how invested he is in Pete and physical education.
Yeah.
And just like his over the top demeanor of like the commitment level that he has is just, it's so well done. And I loved every minute he was on. It's why he was one of the ones that was taken to go do the spinoff show. And mm-hmm. then he never came back and it made me sad.
Yeah, and wasn't that after the Goldbergs? Because I never watched it, but it was Tim Meadows who was on there the whole time, and Lainey who left and came back, but she wouldn't have been a teacher till after the show.
Yeah, it took place in the 90s, but it came about like season 6 or so, and I think it only lasted like 2 seasons or something like that. Which
oh,
is
it was
why,
filmed during the show.
Yeah, it was. Oh, that's why they left, but then they came back, or at least Tim Meadows came back.
Yeah, no, Coach Miller never came back. And then Lainey, once she left, she would come back for guest appearances throughout, but she never came back.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was sad to see him go and never come back. But it was good to get Tim Meadows back. He is a top tier in that in that friend grouping, because he's just so hilarious. Just the sincerity he has about being pathetic. It's like that same energy as the principal from Mean Girls, but it's like Tim Meadows does this sarcastic, dry. No, it's not sarcastic. He does this dry, self-mocking sort of humor really, really well.
He was recently on the Office Ladies podcast, because you know he was on the Office in the Chili's episode, and he was saying, like, I don't want to play any more school administrators. I'm always the principal or a teacher or a guidance counselor, because with Mean Girls and the show and some other stuff, he's kind of typecast as the teacher.
He is in an episode of Poker Face, so we talked about that when our best of 2023. So if you get a chance,
And we have to talk about the JTP as well. Like, that could have been like a one-time joke, but they kept it going throughout the whole thing. And I think that, I mean, honestly, my favorite, if you don't count Jeff, who's basically just a kind of interesting with Jeff, because like once Jeff is with Erica and he's a main character, sometimes he's part of the JP and sometimes he's not, and they never address it. Like if there's a Jeff and Erica storyline, and then the B plot is Barry with the JTP, and he wouldn't be with the JTP because he's off with the Erica storyline. Yep. They never address it.
No.
But then other times he comes back, he's like, oh yeah, we're all part of the JTP together.
Yeah. And I think that's fine. I get why they do it. And it doesn't bother me. I like the characters of the JTP. I like that they are a fun mirror to Barry. And are, especially in the later seasons, that they're like, Barry, this is too far. And especially Matt Bradley. I think Matt Bradley could have been like a miss of, you had a really good dynamic with the JTP and he came later and he was a very different type character. And when they brought him in, I mean, like, heck, even when they brought him in, he was emo. And then halfway through that episode, he turned into the Matt Bradley we know and love.
Yeah.
And so when they bring him into the JTP, he folds and works seamlessly. And it ends up being really funny to see him almost as a foil to Barry. Like, Barry loves the JTP, but hates Matt for some reason.
And Matt Bradley's the most reasonable one out of all of them by far.
Yeah, reasonable and kind and caring. He's a great character.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, Naked Rob, we've talked about Naked Rob. He's not very naked very much of the time, and that's his one note thing. And then Andy, his thing that he's short? He doesn't even have a thing.
Yeah, it was gonna, because they introduced him, it kind of has like a ladies' man, but like, you know, what that sort of character would be as a ladies' man. So, you know, not super successful. But I think he retained just a hair of that, but a lot of it was these short jokes. And he just kind of was – he was the, like, to fill it out as a group, we have this guy. He doesn't have something specific about him. But he's still, you know, he brings what – he works with what he's got.
Yeah. And then we talked about Meller. We talked about Tim Meadows. Stephen Tobolowsky, he is also really good as Earl Abal, the principal, especially when it's him and Beverly. That's another pairing that worked really well. It's him just being beaten down and like scared of Beverly.
Yeah. Stephen Tobolowsky is just great, period. It's like you could give him a role where he watches paint dry and he's going to kill it.
Exactly. So
I like – and I like some of the stupid characters that – maybe they're a little one note, but like Johnny Atkins. I like a good Johnny Atkins storyline. He grew on me more than I thought he would.
And he kept bringing him back through all 10 seasons. And like, he should have been out like halfway through because he was older than everybody. Should have graduated.
And they made the jokes about it, of course, which was is what you got to do.
Yeah. And like, he was at the beach. I think he was part of the big crowd at the beach when Jeff and Erica got engaged. And like, that's all my friends and family. And Johnny Atkins, for some reason...
I wonder if he was based on anyone or if he was kind of like a amalgam of the bullies that Adam dealt with.
I don't know. Also, like, I mean, I mentioned earlier, I like Dave Kim, and the "I know Dave Kim" was like this the catchphrase.
Dave Kim was frequently a voice of reason to Adam, but sometimes he would be just as absurd or just as ridiculous.
Yeah.
I like the introduction of Dave Kim was just because we needed an Asian character for the Goonies episode.
Yeah, and then he became his legit best friend.
He did. It doesn't sound like in high school that they really were. It's like a kid that he went to his party once, I think, was the deal.
So I don't know if we've talked enough about the actual family. We kind of breezed past them, but you mentioned Barry. What mm-hmm. I like about Barry is that Barry, on the one hand, is so ridiculous with his big tasty, and he can be set off like flying off the handle so easy, and everyone can manipulate him, and he's just a wild card. But he's also super smart, and he's going to be a successful doctor at the same time.
And that's what's great is like early in the seasons they would make jokes about it, and that they were kind of inside jokes for the Goldberg family because they didn't say this is what he was going to be until like fourth or fifth season, and they're like, just so you know, he does become this doctor. And so like early on it's just like, what is he going to be, a doctor? And it's just like, I'm sure in their own thing is like, we know he turns into a doctor, this is funny for us. And then eventually they're like, well, we'll let him in on the joke, similar to the Erica is actually Eric joke that they would kind of start off with. And then they drew attention to it once people were finally like, why do we get all this footage of real Barry, real Adam, real whatever, and no real Erica?
Yeah, they think they tried to hide it in the beginning because there were times when Adam said, or the voiceover said, yes, my siblings and I really did this, instead of him saying my brothers, because obviously in real life there is no sister, it's just Adam or Eric. And at one point they did bring in the real Eric, and they kind of talked about it. He's like, well, on the one hand, I can always have plausible deniability that I'm not actually that person, because...
Yeah. And I think it was the first, like, big meta joke about it was when Adam was developing the video game. Yeah. And he makes Erica Eric in it.
Yeah. And then he makes his girlfriend, Jeffina.
Jeffina. So speaking of girlfriends, I don't know if we're done with this, but speaking of girlfriends, you texted me at some point when you're watching, just like, which of Adam's three, which ends up being four by this end, everything said.
And then Barry has three as well, is the best.
And so you're like, which of these three are the best? And I'm like, I only remember Dana, but upon now rewatching everything and seeing these characters, I think I like Jackie the most for Adam. I think Bria does a really
original
good
Jackie, not new Jackie.
Original Jackie, actually. Yeah. It's the new Jackie. It's like, she's fine, whatever, but she didn't capture anything of the old Jackie and just kind of made the part her own. And it's like, that's really hard to do when you're being recast because you have a character that is already established.
Did you recognize original Jackie?
I didn't.
That's Cory and Topanga's daughter from Girl Meets World.
I never watched Girl Meets World, so that would do it.
Yeah, I interrupted you. You're right. I think she could have been the best for him.
Yeah, I think Bria's really good in standing up to Adam because Bria like really existed a lot to show Adam's selfishness, and there was things that Adam maybe got away with more with Jackie and Dana that he didn't get away with as much with Bria. And
I think he grew more with Bria though.
Yeah, he did, because like there's one about like, you know, he comes from money and she had to work for everything she has. And there was another one where it's like she tried out for the play because Adam wanted to act opposite her, and then she ended up being better than him. And this was like one of the bigger cringe moments of the show, of like him trying to upstage her and making a meal of his line that he had and like ruining opening night for her. And I'm like, this is terrible. It's good that Bria's standing up to him, but at this point she should see and she should be gone. Like a real person would have left by this point.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I think I liked the era of Bria the best with Adam.
Sure. I think Bria's a good character, but she's definitely a no nonsense character, and I think that's very good to have, especially in this nonsensical family.
Yeah. And with Barry, I mean, I think it's iconic. I mean, that's maybe not bad. I think it's got to be Lainey.
Yeah, it's hard to like someone better than Lainey. I liked Ren. She was fine.
Ren was forgettable. And it was Jeff's sister. What's her name?
She
matched his energy more.
Yes.
But she gave me like Mona Lisa vibes from Parks and Rec.
It was similar to who did Winston marry in New Girl? Where it's just like, those two together are not a good couple because they're too alike and they enable each other too much.
Whereas, like, Lainey could recognize that Barry was an idiot, but still loved him for it.
Yeah. And Lainey was actually a great character. And I wish we would have gotten more of Lainey because she was a really good tie to Erica and mm-hmm. a tie to Barry. And she yeah. was able to be unique with both of them and to not like belittle either one of them, except for when they needed to be a little more humbled. But to let them be themselves.
Yeah. I think the first time she spoke to Adam was when she had him make the video when she was leaving.
Yeah, she didn't interact. No, she had lines to him, but yeah, she really did not interact with him too
much. And then after she was left, Murray was like, I miss it. I miss Lainey too, which I mean, makes sense. She was over there a lot, but we never mm-hmm. saw, I don't think we ever saw any interaction of Lainey and Murray.
I felt like there was some moments, but I mean, at the same time, it's, you know, Murray, it's that same sort of joke of, I don't remember your girlfriend or boyfriend's name. And then when they're gone, like, oh yeah, good old what's her name? See, I pay attention.
Yeah. I think, I mean, Murray clearly knew more than he let on. He was smarter than he wanted. He played the part of the doofus dad so no one would ask him to do anything.
Exactly. And we actually even had episodes about that. And yeah. showing like, oh, that's he's purposely trying to get out of it and then teach his kids that and they don't do it as well. And then, whoops, he's found out.
Yeah. Should we talk just really briefly on we know that there was, you know, blah, blah, blah. We don't know everything that happened behind the scenes, but Jeff Garland either quit or got fired, depending on who you ask. Mm-hmm. And then they used a couple CGI clips at the end of season 9 and then had him die in season 10.
Yeah. And I think that they could have done it better. Mm-hmm. I think it works that like the real Murray died like a long time ago, back in like the late 80s or 90s or something like that. He hadn't been around for a while.
I thought he died just before the show started. I thought he really was. I thought he was close to being able to have seen the show. Unless I was wrong.
I didn't know that. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, so I do know that the real Murray had died before the show started, either a long time ago or it was right before it started. But either way, he never saw the show.
Yeah. And so I thought maybe there was going to be that, because I thought that he did die a long time ago. That was my understanding. So I'm like, when are they going to do anything about this? Maybe. I don't know. So then them killing him was like, okay, I get it, and I get that you have to do this, and you were right where it was like it created something for Beverly to do, but I just felt like the show itself was extending its stay, and honestly, I think it would have been great to end it a season earlier, end it on Adam graduating, and then season 10 was fine, but... Yeah. Season 9, like ending on that graduation and him getting out of high school, that's the coming of age arc complete. And it is Adam's story. And because they didn't know what they're going to do in season 10, they had to have the, I'm not ready for NYU. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to have my off year. And who knows if that actually happened or not. I don't know the details of that. But it felt more like we just need to kick the can down the road. It's why season 8, Adam was technically a senior. And he should have graduated at the end of season 8, but they kind of like we're cutting it off in the middle, and season 9 is going to be the other half of his senior year, and so I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Boy Meets World logic when it comes to them graduating.
Yeah, so I felt like it was a good moment there. I also felt like I said this to you too, because by the time that season 9 was rolling around, they knew they had to do something about Jeff Garland. So they kind of were not having him in scenes, and they were finding reasons to write him out, except for when things like the graduation or the wedding, they're like, of course, Murray's going to be there. What do we do? And they clearly filmed like Jeff Garland not in the room with them and then superimposed him into the scene, or they used old footage, because it looked like at the graduation they just used old footage.
I heard it was CGI, but I'm not sure. That would be really good CGI though.
Yeah, because he did look younger in the graduation scene than he did in the wedding scene. Okay. But it was better done in that one, where it was more obvious in the wedding scene. It's like, oh, this is definitely a stand-in from that. We're also looking at the back of.
Like one time, you would never have shot it that way. You see Barry and Adam talking to Murray from behind. So they got a stand-in, and with an audio clip of Murray from another episode, just calling them morons or whatever. They did that. They did a couple times. There was one, I was really specific, where they cut to a quick shot of Murray And it's clearly a reused clip from an earlier episode. And I remember that earlier episode when he's like, I'm watching the Weather Channel. They're about to talk about the dew point. And it's like, that's just lazy. You're just taking a little insert from a previous episode that was already aired. I remember that exact episode. Yeah. And you're just playing it again. So, and then there are also episodes where Maurice is not in the episode. They just never mention him.
Yeah. I get it. It was tough. It was a tough circumstance for them to work around, and especially like narrative wise, not even like the PR side of it, but narrative wise, how do we work around this? Because they can't do, okay, he dies again. Cause they started season 9 with that. They couldn't do another death in season 9.
Yeah.
And so having the fact that George Segal died kind of threw off to me that how they would have maybe wanted to do that.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I want to mention briefly the Pops memorial episode, and then we can talk about the dinner episode that you want to talk about.
Sure.
I thought that was a good way to do it with the family was running around to all of Pops' favorite places to try to find like the treasure. And then of course it came down to another Murray moment where, oh, Murray does care. And Murray's saying like, you know, Barry thought that he was not proud of him, and Erica doesn't want to get married without him. And Adam's dragging around this dummy because he thinks he's pretending it's him. And, you know, Beverly won't even go out with her friends. And he kind of calls everybody out on how they're grieving his death.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice moment.
I think so. I think it's hard with a show like this that is so absurd. Because, like, there's other shows like Scrubs where they can handle their serious moments well. And I felt like they didn't go hard enough at that serious moment because it – this was a real opportunity for these actors to kind of grieve. I know at that point he had been dead for probably around a year for them when they actually filmed this, but to give them a form of closure in that way and their way to say goodbye, that I think they really could have been less funny in that episode. You know,
yeah.
Maybe people didn't want to see that. I don't know, but I think they could have been a little more emotional.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, especially since it was like the real death of him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I think he was still alive in universe. He was still alive when Erica and Jeff got married, but he wasn't part of the crowd at the beach. Cause I think he was, or maybe he was like too sick or something, but it's a little,
well,
weird
that was,
thing.
That was the season finale and he was already dead by that point in real life.
But it's a little jarring. Cause you know that like, it just felt a little out of place because Pops would have been part of that group, obviously.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, well.
So I think I agree with you.
Why do you have to go do that?
My favorite episode is the same as yours, is the dinner episode.
Yeah, that's such a great episode because it follows a really strong narrative structure. It introduces you to each of the family's gimmicks one at a time. They do it in a chapter way too, so that you see those gimmicks at play in all these different moments throughout the dinner, and they just continually build on them. All their gimmicks are hilarious. Erica doesn't have a gimmick because walking through Jeff.
It's the thing is that we're seeing it through the eyes of Jeff because it's his first time experiencing a Goldberg dinner. Like you said, Erica's the narrator. So, yeah. I don't know what her thing would have been, but I love – you want to go through them one by one?
Yep. So we've got from least funniest to funniest, we've got Adam who wants to order off the adult menu, but he's too small and he has to order the kids menu because that's all he's going to eat.
Well, I love but Beverly's he's line. He's like, you might be a big boy, but you have a little boy belly.
And then next we have Murray, who's the cheapskate. So he's kind of the guardian of the table to make sure that people are not ordering. Like if they're ordering a drink, they're all going to split one pop. No one's going to order a soup or an extra side like Jeff wants to order the soup with his meal. And then we get to Pop.
Well, and Murray also doesn't know what he likes. He has to order for him.
He has the other side of that.
Yeah. Pops is my favorite. Go ahead.
Oh, Pops is your favorite? It's good. I like it a lot. Pops has to make friends with everyone else around him at the restaurant. And so throughout the episode, we keep seeing him at different places. You guys go ahead and order. I think these guys have a story they want to tell.
So to say, they're trying to eat their dinner. Just leave them alone.
And then Beverly is the chaos of the group. She's got two. One of them is sneaking everything into her purse and saving mm-hmm. leftovers and wrapping everything up to go that they don't eat at the table for later leftovers. But then the other thing is actually she's got like a bunch of them. Yeah. She like also...
When the food comes and it's someone else's table, they yep. think, oh, wait, that must be our food. We're going to go over and steal it from them. Oh, this isn't what we ordered. Yeah, because it's not your food.
That's the biggest chaos of
yeah.
her. She's got like several things, but yeah, like her very specific ordering, like she can't order anything on the menu. She has to order like this hodgepodge certain way to be done. And if that's not going to be it, she has to start all over with what she's ordering.
Yeah. Didn't she say, is she trying to swap out? Like a vegetable for like a shrimp or something. Something that would not ever be swapped out.
Yeah. Instead of the broccoli, can I have another steak or something stupid like that?
That's not exactly what it was, but something like that.
My favorite, though, and it's such a dumb little thing, but Barry cannot order correctly. How's your trout? It's not good. You had me at trout.
And of course, he hates it when it comes. It's almost like that stubborn, like, you're not going to tell me what to do. I want the trout. I'm going to get the trout. But it's not that. He's just that dumb.
We're at a steakhouse. Give me some of your steak. No, eat your fish. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, throughout this episode, it just unfolds so well. And I love a well-paced comedic thing of, like, lay the blocks. Build on those blocks and then just slowly get bigger and bigger until it's like too much chaos. And obviously everything has to overlap at once in the climax and yeah. someone breaks.
And isn't that Jeff? Doesn't Jeff say, you are all crazy, and calls them all out?
Yep. Yep. Jeff stands up for him and ends up impressing them, because that was the other thing too. This was an early time in their relationship. So Jeff wanted to impress mm-hmm. the family.
Yeah. There are times when Jeff gets a little bit too much, but when he's in that sweet spot, I really like him.
Yeah. He's as really early on, like when he wants to start dating Erica, a lot of that season is really good of the neurotic side versus the I really want to seem like I know what I'm doing and I'm wooing you side. Like he walks a really good line in that season. And does well for a couple seasons after that.
He starts out being like the Urkel, Steve Urkel, where like, you know, you're going after Laura Winslow or Erica, and she does not like you. You're the annoying person. And then he had that season where he dated the other girl, and that's when Erica yep. fell for him.
Yeah. Agreed. I thought their relationship was well formed. I thought mm-hmm. that relationship and Lainey and Barry, those arcs were really good dating arcs. Yeah. I think everything else was like, okay, it's fine. But I was very into both of those.
There was also the moment where it was like Erica and Barry were, I think they were at college and they were having a fight and they kept bringing in more people for to be fighting on their side. Before, right. Like Lainey was there and Jeff was there and the JTP was there. And I think Johnny Atkins was there. It's like all of their supporting characters ended up being there. And then they all agreed like, okay, this is dumb. You have like, instead of, everybody kicked Erica and Barry out of the room to force them to get over themselves.
Yep. We talked about some of our best episodes, but I want to hit on a couple, because this is another thing that this show does well, is that sometimes they'll just dedicate a whole episode to a certain film or a TV show yep. or something.
A lot of them are starting out that way, like, hey, Back to the Future was cool. Here's the yep. next episode about that.
And there's some where it's just like they pay homage to it, and there's others where they're like, we are really going to try and recreate this. I think like the first big example of that was probably Goonies. Mm-hmm. But what was your favorite of those type of episodes?
I think Ferris Bueller was one of my
favorite. I was going to say that too. As soon as they did Ferris Bueller and like they did like recreating shots, recreating moments mm-hmm. was, I was like, I'm all in for this.
The Charlie Sheen moment.
Yeah.
And the Ferris Bueller one was great. They bring Charlie Sheen back to recreate his cameo, and he says something like, I've been here for frickin' ever.
Yeah, the fact Charlie or whatever his name is, you're free to go. Finally!
That was a cool little moment.
I agree. That was a good moment. I liked so much of that episode. I think probably maybe my favorite part was them mm-hmm. going to the restaurant and then trying to do the Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago, and the guy's like, no, we can seat you. You don't need to prank. We got a seat right here. Yes, that was good. Trying to think of other ones. I liked the National Lampoon's Vacation one that they did to start off season 7, I want to say. It was our first appearance of Anthony Michael Hall before they brought him in as a recurring character.
Oh, that's right.
Because he was the guard. He was John Candy's role from that movie. But he ends up going on the ride with them at Disneyland when they lets him in. And then a couple episodes later, they're like, no, we want you back. Let's have you as a guidance counselor.
Yeah. I liked his role.
Yes.
Trying to think of any other specific episodes that jump out to me. I mean, Thanksgiving ones are always good. When Marvin causes chaos, yep. Those ones are always fun.
The Indiana Jones themed one. They did the Wonder Years that we mentioned. I was going to say they did a Cheers one, but really they didn't do anything with Cheers. They just brought in the Cheers cast four of them.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like there was a night in the early 2000s where it was NBC's homage to the past. And that was when, I mean, the easy one was, you know, Frasier ran into all his Cheers friends at the bar and so they had all like, you know, Norm and Cliff and all them. And that was the episode of Scrubs where all the patients were the doctors from St. Elsewhere. I think there was a couple other, I think every episode that night had like reunion cast from an old NBC show.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun to see all those guys back. I've always really liked George Wendt. I think John Ratzenberger is underappreciated. I mean, he's in every Pixar movie, but he should have done more. But they also got Kirstie Alley back for it and Rhea Perlman. But
yeah, I recently found out that Rhea Perlman and Danny DeVito are technically still married, but they're like separated for like 20 years, something like that. I didn't know that they were separated.
I didn't either. To me, it's like you haven't heard any big stuff about it. So to me, I'm like, oh, it's like Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. They're probably still together, right? I haven't heard anything.
Or like Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah. So some of these couples is just like, they're not dramatic, so we don't need to follow them too much. Mm-hmm. Like, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is anything else you can think of? Oh, let's talk about how the whole show ends. The whole, like, finale. So did this show get canceled because the finale didn't feel like a show finale?
Well, it did at the very end of it, but not really until – I try to remember what all happened at the end of it.
So that was he convinces Bev to go to her family – or not family, her class reunion. And then in it, he's also going to be going off to college. It's Bev to the Future, so – there is a little bit of Back to the Future references. And then she starts flirting with this guy that she actually dated before she dated Murray at the class reunion. Mm-hmm. And so he tries to like break it up by playing Johnny Be Good, but can't play guitar. And then it kind of ends. Oh, and then also Barry and, oh my gosh, what's her name? Jeff's sister.
Joanne.
Barry and Joanne get elope and get married. And then they're going to tell everyone. But then they don't. And the final thing, as they're about to tell everyone, is that Jeff and Erica. Names are hard. Jeff and Erica's baby says Boopy. And
yeah.
So
Jeff and Erica, after a while, they kind of had the same Jim and Pam thing where it's like, okay, they're just together now.
Yeah. If you paid attention, I feel like this show never had like a long contract of like guaranteed multiple seasons. And so if you pay attention to every season finale, it all kind of ends with Patton Oswalt's narration being like, if this is it, this is it. Because how do you end a show about our life that's still ongoing? Are we going to keep going until we're adults? I don't know.
Yeah.
And so it always ends with like but that was the 80s and it was the year was 1980 something and it was awesome. Like it's always like this is how we're going to end the season, but could also be the series.
I like their commitment to never settling on a year. Because I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if it's all the 80s, it's 10 seasons, then it would have to be 80 through 90. But it's not that simple. Even like at the graduation, it was class of 80, and that the balloons covered the specific year.
Yeah. Because every time Stephen Tobolowsky says it at graduation, congratulations, class of
Yeah. Same thing, like the whole thing with Malcolm in the Middle was that the last name was never, they had never said their last name on screen.
Oh, really?
And so Malcolm graduated, same thing as Malcolm. And
sounds like you drowned a Furby. But I mean, that's probably how I sounded too. When I made the noise, I'm like, eh, that's probably not a good noise.
Yeah. Well, also, because they talk about these movies as if this movie just came out now, but
yeah,
the timeline's not going to line up because it's not always, okay, well, this would have been 1986, this movie's coming out. They just, like, any movie in the 80s is, or show in the 80s is fair game at any point.
Yeah.
And it gave them that license.
It's like, early on, they watched Back to the Future, and then Ghostbusters was big, and then comes back and it's Twins, and then he has to wait in line for Empire Strikes Back. And I'm like, no, Empire is after Twins, but Back to the Future is before yeah. those.
Well, Back to the Future is after that, because the Return of the Jedi would have been 83.
Yes, right? That's – what did I – yeah, you're right. Because I'm sorry, I was confusing. I was saying like late 80s. Never mind. Back to the Future 2 is late 80s, and that's where my mind went because I just had said Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, everyone. I ruined it.
Yeah,
I ruined it.
By the way, in honor of Lucky, I have my dog here too, which is kind of Lucky-like, I think.
Similar. This summer, we bought a dog, and we decided to name her Lucky. And I'm like, I've never heard of a girl dog being named Lucky before, but that's what we just went with. And then I start watching Goldbergs, and they have a girl dog named Lucky. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Also, they never did anything about the dog being sad that Murray was gone, because that was Murray's dog.
And the dog died. I hate to break to you, Big Tasty. No, dog's the dead.
The dog was in the whole time. Wasn't the dog in the last season, after even after Murray?
Maybe. I don't know. That's a different dog.
I don't know.
It's one of those body doubles that they swap out.
You know, I've heard the thing is like people tell you don't work with babies or dogs on TV because it's just annoying and it just adds more time. So it's funny. So I'm listening through the Full House recap podcast and I'm watching through the show, and I'm watching now season 2 of Full House, which is when the Olsen twins, you know, they played Michelle, were old enough where they could talk a little bit, but they weren't old enough to be acting.
Yeah.
And you could clear that in season 2, the way they did it was a lot of the cold opens were just non sequitur things about Michelle. And it was basically just, they wrote a scene around whatever the Olsen twins were able to do at that point. Like there's a scene where they're doing the whole thing about, oh, all she can say is the word no. So they ask her all questions about no. And it's funny. And it's clearly like, all right, we're going to write a scene to get her in the show. We're going to do whatever the girls can do, and then we're going to go with the rest of the episode and not worry about her. Because she didn't really start to be a character with storylines till like season like maybe 3 or 4 when she could actually do stuff.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, there you go. There is your Full House trivia for today.
Yeah.
Speaking of trivia, let's jump into trivia.
Let's do it.
See you later, Goldbergs. They're leaving you behind in the 80s. All right. Well, last week we talked about season 3 of The Office versus season 3 of Parks and Rec. Those are great shows. If you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to that episode. Do it. Do it now. Do it. Do it. All right. And the trivia that we had was talking about season 3. There is a comedian from Whose Line Is It Anyway that was a series regular, and they ended up being in season 3 of The Office. What character or actor was that character from that Whose Line Is It Anyway? I was going to say That 70s Show, and I'm like, where did that come from? Anyway, the actor is Chip Est, and he played Josh, the head of the Stamford branch in early season 3 and one episode of season 2. So Chip S, he's also on the show Nashville, if you ever watch that. He actually has a good amount of acting credits to his name, where he's not just strictly that improv comedian. But speaking of people from, before we go into this week's trivia, I just watched the first episode of season 2's of Halo. And yeah, they have another actor from Whose Line Is It Anyway? There's this woman who, she's kind of like this announcer for like this group of pirates, like this underground something. I don't know exactly what's going on in there. But she was on the British version of Whose Line Is It Anyway? What is her name? It was Josie Lawrence. I think she actually even came on the American version a little bit early on with Drew Carey. I don't think she was on Aisha Tyler's at all. But she was big on the British version and came on a little bit for the American version. So I was like, hey, I recognize you.
I was looking up to double check that my trivia was actually correct.
All right. Sounds good. By the way, okay. So if we're going to go with your trivia, I'm just going to say
what mine was going to be. True. Because yeah, we mentioned it earlier.
Yeah. Yes. So there was that episode of Cheers with Kirstie Alley. But there's actually a movie with Kirstie Alley and George Segal where they play a couple. Do you know what movie that is, Brian?
I don't.
It's Look Who's Talking. He is her boss. Now, the couple is her and John Travolta. They're the couple of it. But she is having her boss's baby. And that's George Segal's baby. And so that's like what kicks off all the action. And then she's trying to get with him because, you know, she's having his baby. So she wants him to be the dad. But then John Travolta comes on the scene and he ends up being a really good fit for the family. And that's the whole crux of the movie. That, and we also hear what the baby's thinking as spoken by Bruce Willis.
Yep. And then the sequel had Roseanne as the daughter.
Yep. And then there's one with dogs with Danny DeVito and.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. There's a third one.
Yeah.
So this week's trivia, there is two characters on the Goldbergs who played relatives, and they are actually those relatives in real life.
Dun, dun, dum.
And I didn't realize this till afterwards, but you can totally see the resemblance of these two when you think about it.
Dave Kim and his brother, who you never see on screen.
Yes. Oh, you got it.
Knew it.
If you know who that is, let us know.
It's not Dave Kim and his invisible brother, I promise.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. That was it. That was the 10 seasons of the Goldbergs. We've been talking about it. We've been hinting at it. We've been flirting around the idea for a little bit now. And so now we finally got it under our belt. If you want us to talk more about the Goldbergs, we won't. So too bad. But still send us feedback anyway. Until next time, I'm Matt.
I'm Brian.
And we're reminding you to stay tuned and keep watching.